When we are no longer identified with the idea of ourselves, the entire relationship between subject and object, knower and known, undergoes a sudden and revolutionary change. It becomes a real relationship, a mutuality in which the subject creates the object just as much as the object creates the subject. The knower no longer feels himself to be independent of the known. The experiencer no longer feels himself to stand apart from the experience. Consequently, the whole notion of getting something out of life, of seeking something from experience, becomes absurd. To put it in another way, it becomes vividly clear that in concrete fact, I have no other self than the totality of things of which I am aware. This is the Hua Yen doctrine of the net of jewels, of Shi Shi Wu Ai, in which every jewel contains the reflection of all the others. Man's identification with his idea of himself gives him a specious and precarious sense of permanence, for this idea is relatively fixed, being based upon carefully selected memories of his past, memories which have a preserved and fixed character. But to the degree that he identifies himself with the fixed idea, he becomes aware of life as something which flows past him, faster and faster as he grows older, as his idea becomes more rigid, more bolstered with memories. The more he attempts to clutch the world, the more he feels it as a process in motion. On one occasion, Ma Tzu and Po Chang were out for a walk when they saw some wild geese flying past. "What are they?" asked Ma Tzu. "They're wild geese," said Po Chang. "What are they doing?" demanded Ma Tzu. Po Chang replied, "They've already flown away." Suddenly Ma Tzu grabbed Po Chang by the nose and twisted it so that he cried out in pain. "How," shouted Ma Tzu, "could they ever have flown away?" This was the moment of Po Chang's awakening. The relativity of time and motion is one of the principal themes of Dogen's Shou Bogen Zu, where he writes, "If we watch the shore while we are sailing in a boat, we feel that the shore is moving. But if we look nearer to the boat itself, we know then that it is the boat which moves. When we regard the universe in confusion of body and mind, we often get the mistaken belief that our mind is constant. But if we actually practice Zen and come back to ourselves, we see that this was wrong. When firewood becomes ashes, it never returns to being firewood. But we should not take the view that what is latterly ashes was formerly firewood. What we should understand is that according to the doctrine of Buddhism, firewood stays at the position of firewood. There are former and later stages, but these stages are clearly cut. It is the same with life and death. Thus we say in Buddhism that the unborn is also the undying. Life is a position of time. Death is a position of time. They are like winter and spring, and in Buddhism we do not consider that winter becomes spring or that spring becomes summer." Dogen is here trying to express the strange sense of timeless moments which arises when one is no longer trying to resist the flow of events, the peculiar stillness and the self-sufficiency of the succeeding instants when the mind is, as it were, going along with them and not trying to arrest them. The measuring of worth and success in terms of time and the insistent demand for assurances of a promising future make it impossible to live freely both in the present and in the promising future when it arrives. For there is never anything but the present, and if one cannot live there, one cannot live anywhere. The Shou Bogen Zu says, "When a fish swims, he swims on, and there is no end to the water. When a bird flies, he flies on, and there is no end to the sky. From the most ancient times, there was never a fish who swam out of the water, nor a bird who flew out of the sky. Yet when the fish needs just a little water, he uses just a little, and when he needs lots, he uses lots. Thus the tips of their heads are always at the outer edge of their space. If ever a bird flies beyond that edge, he dies, and so also with the fish. From the water the fish makes his life, and from the sky the bird. But this life is made by the bird and the fish. At the same time the bird and the fish are made by life. Thus there are the fish, the water, and life, and all three create each other. Yet if there were a bird who first wanted to examine the size of the sky, or a fish who first wanted to examine the extent of the water, and then try to fly or to swim, they will never find their own ways in the sky or the water." This is not a philosophy of not looking where one is going. It is a philosophy of not making where one is going so much more important than where one is, that there will be no point of going.